at the.
Okay, Rabbi Mosai, we'll get started.
So we start a new sugya today.
We're looking at the Mishnah Daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis, all the way in the bottom. Shiva Samamonim Avirim Alakesem. Now, our goal today, for today's shiur, would be to look at the Torah Hashlomim and Rabbi Kiveger on this sugya, which of course is codified by the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Tzadi. But there's a lot in the Rishonim on this sugya, and much of it has to be learned inside, word for word, which we're not going to do today. We're going to sort of just summarize the Rishonim and give an overview. The Mishnah establishes that there are seven types of samonim. Samonim, I guess you'd call a kind of herbs or some sort of chemical substances which the Mishnah is going to list. Some of them we know what they are. Some of them we have trouble identifying them. At the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, they knew exactly what they were, but today we don't know anymore. And much of our discussion today is going to be what are the implications of this Mishnah today when we don't know how to do this bedika. Now, what's it all about? A woman finds a kesem, which we said over and over again is tumah derabbanan. We don't know exactly where it came from. We're not sure it came from the makar. If we can be tola, we'll be tola. If we can't be tola, and let's say it's a kigris viod, so you can't be tola to makola. She wasn't overes b'shuk shel tabach, whatever the case may be. However, our Mishnah is going to address a different question. How do we know this is dam? Maybe this is not dam at all. There are other substances, shall we call them red inks or maybe red dyes, maybe paint, whatever you want to call it. In Hebrew it's called tseva, tzadi bezayin. And maybe this is not dam at all. Maybe this is tseva. And in theory, we could always say about every single kesem, maybe it's not dam. The whole premise is that what you're looking at is a stain of dam, but maybe it's not dam. So the Mishnah formulates a litmus test, if you want to call it that. And we could actually determine, according to the Mishnah, by subjecting this kesem to a combination of seven different chemical substances, we could determine whether or not what's on the kesem is dam or tseva. And the Mishnah establishes, after listing, again, we'll just read through the list, and some of them are totally unfamiliar to us. The Gemara is going to try to tell us what they are. There's Rok Tafel. What else is on the list? Oh, there's May Grisim. There's May Raglayim. There's Neser. There's Boris. Then we move on to Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah continues. Kamonia. Ashlag. Anyway, these are all different types of substances. Each one apparently functions in its own way. And when we mix this concoction together, we could take the kesem, and we could rub this concoction onto the kesem. And one of three things is going to happen. Either the kesem will be completely removed, or the kesem will remain as is, or the kesem will be deha. Deha means it'll sort of be a little bit less intense or less dark than it was before. What do you say?
It'll fade.
Correct. Excellent. It'll fade. So the Mishnah establishes the following. What is going to be the result of this test of Harvaras Hasamimon? Hitbilo, right? He takes this garment or this piece of cloth that has a kesem on it, and he subjects it to these seven samamon. Now, velo avar. This is the first case. The first case is that nothing that we did was able to have any impact on the tzeva, meaning it didn't fade, it didn't disappear, it looks exactly as it looked before. In such a case, harei ze tzeva, then we can determine and establish beyond the shadow of a doubt, according to our Mishnah, that this is not a kesem of dam. This is tzeva, because a kesem, a stain, will be removed, or at least it will fade. Now, if nothing happened and the tzeva remained tzeva, and therefore we know that it's not dam, in such a case, if she came in contact, or if the beged itself, which we'll see has a tuma to it, came in contact with tahoros, with something that was tar, then tahoros, everything is tar, and we're okay. Not only that, the Mishnah goes a step further, and for this we'd really have to be much more greater experts at the laws of what's called tuma blua, that once we successfully subject this beged to the test, and now we determine that it's not dam, is eino tzarich lahatbil. In other words, the normal process of being metayer a beged, which requires tvila, is not required because we've already determined that it's not dam, but rather it's tzeva. And why is that? Because it was unaffected by the seven samamon. Now we get to cases 2 and 3. But if as a result of this test, avar, it means that the stain was removed, oshediha, or it faded, it no longer looks as sharp and as red as it did before, hareze kesem. Now it becomes a kesem. And therefore, taros tmeos v'tzarch lahatpil. Now, if you're very careful about it, and this is going to lead us to the major controversy regarding this mishnah between the Rambam and the Raifid, you'll notice that what the Mishnah explicitly addresses is the issue of taros, both with regard to taros that came in contact with this beged and with regard to the beged itself. And there's no mention of labala at all. In other words, we've discussed on many occasions that Masechta Nida is a double mesechta. It has two different dimensions to it. One is labaila, whether she becomes asura labaila, and the other is whether she's tmea as far as tuma vitara is concerned. And if I knew nothing but this Mishnah and the words of the Mishnah, I would have come to the mistaken conclusion that this Mishnah has no bearing on labaila. And here we have a major machlokus between the Rambam and the Raifid. So let's open up the Rambam at this point, and we'll take a look at his language. This is Perek Tes Milchas Yisurbiya, which is the Perek we've been learning. But in this case, Halacha Lamed Vav. Kol Kesem HaNimtza Al HaBeged She'ein Bo Bamel Yitle. Because if we could be tole on a makoles, if we could be tole on the dam shalshuk, whatever it might be, then there's nothing to talk about. And it's she's tahora. But we're talking about a case where the Rambam says where there is no possibility of tliya. Says the Rambam, listen carefully to his language. In other words, if you would have written the Rambam, I think the next word that would have come out of your mouth would be tame. Right? He says, eino mitame, ad Shivadashu dam. We have to know it's dam. The im nistapik lahem shemahu dam otseva adom. Mavirin olav shiva samamonim elu al haseder. Im avar, if you successfully remove the stain, okeha, or it becomes faded, kea eno. Eno means it's dark color. Hareze kesem dam utmeh, but the imamad kemoshehu, hareze tseva utahora. If, on the other hand, despite the havaras zayin samamonim, nothing happened to the stain, it remains as it is, then we know that it's not dam, but rather it's tseva and she's tahora. Now, according to the Raivid, this entire presentation of the Rambam is completely wrong. There's nothing here in the Rambam that's correct, according to the Raivid. In other words, the Raivid says that Havaras Samimonim is not going to be relevant at all in the way the Rambam finds it relevant. Because the Rambam here in Hilchos Yisurei Bia throughout this parak is trying to figure out whether she's Tahora Labaila or Tmeya Labaila. Says the Ravid, this Mishnah that we learned here in Samach Aleph Amid Beis, which the Rambam codifies here, has nothing to do with Labaila. There's no such thing as Havaras Samimonim Labaila. If she sees a kesem, that exactly is what the Rabbanon establishes, Tumas Ksamin. There is no way out. What is the Mishnah therefore dealing with according to the Ravid when it says that you can subject this kesem, this beggar, to Havar Zion Samamonin? It's only relevant to Tuma Vitara. And he says the following, Omar Avram Ze'eno. You know, just like skip this whole Rambam, you know, like cut it out. It doesn't belong here. He says, Ella, but rather what is the discussion here about Avara Samamonim, is Lebeged, Metame Achivoda Shutseva, that a Beged is not considered Tome until we know and establish that this is Dam and not Seva. And how do we do so? Al Yidei Bedika. The Bedika will determine whether it has Tuma Blua in it. Whereas the Rambam, on the other hand, took this mission and applied it a step further. Once you're determining whether or not it's Dam or Seva Adom, that's going to have bearing not just on the laws of Tuma Vitara, but also on her status Labaila. So we have, even before we, how should I say, take off, even before takeoff, we have this fundamental machlokas here between the Rambam and the Ravid. In fact, the Ramban, in his Chidushim, on Masechta Nida, right here on the spot, Samach Aleph Amid Beis, says exactly what the Ravid says, that this whole Avara Samamonim is irrelevant to Labaila. She's got a Kesem, and a Kesem is considered Metame, it's Metameya. And that's the end. The Mishnah is relevant to Taros. So we have the Ravid and the Ramban against the Rambam. Now, as I mentioned to you at the outset, there's a heck of a lot in the Rishonim over here. The Magid Mishnah quotes a Rajba. Now, Yechiel, not for now, because I don't want to get distracted here, but we may want to, I don't have access to the Rashba. It's the Rashba in Torah Sabayis. Please make a note of it. It's quoted here in the Magid Mishnah. It's Bayis Zion Shar Dalid, and it's pages Tesvav Amid Beis Teszayin Amid Aleph. Okay, then. So Beli Neder. Again, I say this with a real hesitation because I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to go through the Rashba in Torah Sabayis. But the Magid Mishnah says that the Rashba in Torah Sabayis holds that the Rambam is correct. And in that sense, he's disagreeing with the Ramban and, of course, the Ravid. And the Bedika is meaningful even Labaila. The Magid Mishnah says Kain Ikar. In other words, the Magid Mishnah accepts the Rashba, who accepts the Rambam. So we have now, if we want to line up these, you know, for the scorecard purposes, we've got the Ravid and the Ramban on the one hand, and against them we have the Rambam, the Rashba, and the Magid Mishnah. What we want to do now is, before we go through the Magid Mishnah inside, to take a look at the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. So we get a feeling for what's going on here in the poskim, and we'll see what he says. Okay. Kosav Rashba. Ein ha'isha chosheshes mishum kesem ad sheteida bebirur shehu dam. The whole business of kesem is predicated on the clarification that it's dam. How does she know it's dam? Maybe it's tseva. Ketzad hiosa, tavir olav, shiva samimonim, im avar. If it's completely removed, or we'll soon see if it fades, hareze dam. But v'im amad, it remains in place, hareze tseva, v'yena chosheshes lo. Now, having quoted the Rashba, who clearly understands that our Mishnah and Havar Zayin Samamonim is relevant labayla, and he's talking about the Chashash Rabbanon of Ksamim, whether it is a Chashash or it's not, the Torah adds the comment, V'ein roi lismach al zeh. Now, despite the Rashba, we should not rely on the Rashba, meaning we're not going to subject every kesem to this seven samamonim test. Elachoshesh eslo min astam. Okay, now we have to see what the Torah means. Min astam. What do those words mean? In other words, let's say for argument's sake, there was no bedika samimonim. Had there been a bedika samimonim, the possibility would be that we would determine that she's tahor because this is not a kesem of dam, but rather it's what? It's seva. And why is that? Because the samimonim were not effective in removing or impacting on the kesem. So we know it's seva. But what do we do in the absence of a bedika? Because after all, if you read the Rashba carefully, the Rashba says, "Eino choshesh mishum kesem acheteda bebirushu dam." What impression do you get from the language of the Rashba?
Can't move without checking it out.
What do you say?
You can't move without checking it out.
But again, "Eino choshesh mishum kesem." What would the Rashba say in the absence of a bedika? You're not with me here? I'll show you the language inside, because maybe we should have made copies of it. But again, Ein ha'isha choshesh mishum kesem ad sheteida bebiru shehudam. Where is the burden of proof? Is the burden of proof to undermine kesem and call it and determine that it's tsefa, or is the burden of the proof, are you innocent until you're guilty, prove guilty, that the assumption is that it's tsefa until you prove that it's dam? It seems like the, you know, innocent until proven guilty, right? Eino isha choshesh mishum kesem acheteda bebirushu dam. The case adiosa, and the bedika is meant to clarify maybe b'chol zot it is dam. But, you know, in the absence of the bedika, then ein isha choshesh mishum kesem, because she doesn't know bebiru that it's dam. And truth be told, that sounds like the language of the Rama that we started with, because the Rama's language was kol kesem animtzal begin she'ein lo b'mei yitle eino metame ad she'ivoda she'uda. So the Rashba is almost verbatim the Rambam. Maybe the reason why the Torah quoted the Rashba instead of the Rambam is because there are other possibilities in the Rambam, as we'll soon see. So the Rashba is crystal clear. But now the Torah says ein roi lismoch al zeh. We should not rely on this. Ela choshesh eslo min astam. That min astam, in the absence of a bedika, we should really assume that she's tmei labayla, which is really whose position is really the Torah now reflecting.
The Ravid.
It sounds like the Ravid, except it's not as extreme as the Ravid. It's not as extreme as the Ravid. The Ravid went a step further. The Ravid says that even the bedika itself, had you implemented it, would not undermine her, the Tumas Ksum, and she would be Tmei Labayla. The Torah is saying that, well, wait a minute, there are two issues here. One issue is, would the Havara Zayin Samamon, would this Padika be effective if, let's say, you successfully implemented it and lo and behold, nothing happened to the Dam, to the Tzeva? And then you have another issue. What do you do in the absence of a Padika? What is your premise? Is she Tmeya until proven innocent? And if you didn't have this bedika, then for sure she's Tmeya. Or do we say no, that the chazok of the assumption is that she's Tahora until proven guilty? Yeah, Yechiel?
No, I'm sorry. Who's the Rashba quoting when it says Yesh Mishahara? Who's the Rashba?
He doesn't clarify it. I think he means the Rambam. That's the honest truth.
So the Torah say you have to do...
You know, he anonymously quotes somebody, so who is it? I think it's the Rambam.
Is the Torah saying you have to do a check every time you have a kesem, or...?
The Torah would say the following, that you have two options here. If you don't do a check, then forget it. There's nothing to talk about. She's Tmeya, because ain't love a me litlos. Right. You have another option to do the check, and if you're successful and you know you have the big V victorious, because what happened, the tzeva remained in its place and nothing was over, in that case we'd be matir you. The Raven would go a step further and say the whole test is totally irrelevant, it's too sung no matter what.
But the Rambam says you do have to do a test every time.
I don't know, again, let's look at the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Kol kesem animtzal beged she'emo bamel yitle, eino metame, achi vada shudam." But you're right. No, Rabbi Kapusta, you're right. I mean, it seems that the Rambam, and that's what this whole Magid Mishnah is all about, that the Rambam does require havaras zayin samimon. I don't know that the Rashba addressed that question. Okay. So again, just to reread the Torah, V'ein roi lismoch al zeh l'choshesh eslo min astam, aval im hevira olav zayin samimonim v'lo avar, v'adei tahorahi. And who's he rejecting? The Raven and the Ramban. She'ein l'chadam she'ein over al yidei shiva samimonim v'hu hashevirin kisidron. And that's it. Then he says, "Varamban kosav she'ein lismoch al yidei b'dika samimonim lomar shu tzevel atira labayla shlo huskara b'dika samimonim el l'taras bilvan amal labayla afal pishlo avar al yidei shiva samimonim chayshinon shemadam hu v'yasura labayla." Halach lamaisa, I am not exactly sure. I'm a little bit confused as to what the tour would paskin, because at the very beginning he seems to accept at least one variation of the Rashba. Maybe he's not willing to go as far as to say that if you don't know whether it's dam or tseva, then she's tahora, even in the absence of a bedika. That far he's not willing to go. But at one stage or another, you get the impression he would accept the Rashba. It's not coincidental that he's quoting the Rashba, that Bedika Samamonim is meaningful not only with regard to Taurus, but also with regard to the Bible. But then at the end, he quotes the Ramban. And the Ramban writes that Bedika Samamonim is not relevant to the Bible at all, it's only relevant with Taurus. So where does the tour stand? You know, Allah Lamaisa, at the end of the day, is he willing to at least accept the efficacy of Zayin Samamonim? And that Bedika is valid in order to be Matayr Ha, in event that we, at the end of the day, we were not able to remove or even to fade away the stain. I don't know. I would rather see how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, and maybe from that we'll get a little bit of an idea. Maybe I can show you, gentlemen, just to, because the table is a little bit narrow. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Now, where are we? We're in Kuf Tzadi, where we've been for quite a while, but it's a gigantic siman, and we're up to Sif Katan, Si'if Lamed Aleph. Motza Kesem. The aim of a melitlo svadover mesupak imudam otseva maveres olav shiva samimon. There's no doubt that he is rejecting the Raivit, and probably because if you remember, I mentioned before that the Magid Mishnah, after he quotes the Rashba, he says v'chein ikar. You have the machlokas up on top there between the Rambam and the Raivid and the Ramban and the Rashba, but on the bottom, what we call Kibasra, we have the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah quotes the Rashba and then he says V'chein Ikar. So therefore, I would submit to you that the Shulchan Aruch, following in the footsteps of the Magid Mishnah, Halacha L'maisa accepts the viability of this Havaras Bedika Zayin Samamonim to be Metayr Holabayla, and he makes no mention of the Ramban. And if you take a look at the Be'er Agola here, number Ayin, he writes Mishnah Bedaf Samach Aleph Amid Beiv V'Samach Beiz Amid Aleph L'Das HaRambam V'HaRashba V'HaRav HaMagid Shehuzkura ba Mishnah Bedika Samimonim Latira Filu Levaila. So we're on the right track here. This is the Beragola. So let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch. If after this bedika amad bi eino, it was not impacted by the bedika reza tzeva utahora v'im eino maveres ah. Oh, now the Shulchan Aruch addresses our question: what happens if there was no bedika? And we were medayik from the language of the Rajba and the Rambam that perhaps innocent until proven guilty. That far he's not willing to go. V'im einam averes olav, if she didn't do this avaras zayin samamonim, so the Shulchan Aruch says tmeya misafik. Now please emphasize those two words, tmeya misafik, because we'll soon see in the Magid Mishnah that there's a logical possibility to say that in the absence of avaras samamonim, she's tmeya bevadai. Mirabonim, of course, again there was no argosh, we won't talk about kesomim, but she's tmeya betoras vadai. In other words, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if we don't know whether it's dam or tseva, then the law of ksamim to create a tumas vada, mirabonim, doesn't kick in. We simply don't know. We're not able to be metayerha because this is still included in the broader context of ksamim, albeit not betoras vadai tumas derabonim, but betoras safek tumas derabonim.
Why don't we say... Yeah,
oh, excellent. So that's going to be the Magid Mishnah's question. If the whole business is only a suffix, why is she tmeya misafik? It's only derabanan. In other words, in the worst case scenario, you can only imagine here a tuma derabanan. It's not like cases where she made a bediko, which we said, Dilma Argisha, Velama Daite, or Dal Machmas Tashvish, and we had other cases of maybe she had Argosha. We're not talking about that. We're talking about pure ksamen. So the worst case scenario is tumah derabanan. No, if you have a safek kesem, it should be lakula. Excellent question. That's what the Magid Mishnah is going to address. But I just want to finish up the Shulchan Aruch before we get to the Magid Mishnah. He says v'achshav, meaning in contemporary life, this is 5 centuries ago, but ein lanu avara shiva samamonim. We simply have no clue how to do this process. Some of the names that we don't even know how to identify them. Now, I don't know if anyone, I'm sure somebody's written some sort of article, you know, what's his name, Rabbi Felix, or, you know, one of these guys, who are these guys, you know, that are experts, you know, they tell you what maror is, and, you know, they go back to the botany of it, to the chemistry of it. It could be that I wouldn't be surprised if somebody's writing an article as we speak to try to figure out these designs, some of them, and how they operate. But in Shulchan Aruch it says ein ana b'kiyum. No, so if ein ana b'kiyum, what's the deal? You might say, well, look, innocent until proven guilty. You might say guilty until proven innocent. The Shulchan Aruch takes the middle approach. Yeah, she's guilty until proven innocent, but only b'taras safek. Which leads to that question here about why we don't apply the principle of Safik Derabanan Lekul. But again, she's not Vadai Tahora, which means innocent, we assume it's a Tzeva until we've proven that it's Dam. She's not Vadai Tmeya because we really don't know whether it's Dam or Tzeva. We don't have the wherewithal of applying the litmus test. And therefore it ends up with as a Safik, as a Tmeya Misafik situation. So that's what we have in the Shulchan Aruch.
Do we have to dafka follow Zayin Samamim? We don't know what all they are, but there must be other ways of.
The Gemara just the Mishnah only recognizes this. I don't know if you.
Tendler was working when I took a course with him. Was working on a litmus test.
Really?
Because menstrual blood does not coagulate. It's different from normal blood. And he wanted to figure out a way.
Of determining. Okay, we have to call him up and ask him what happened at the end.
He didn't get anywhere, I imagine.
What? He probably
didn't get anywhere.
On my next trip to Muncie, maybe I'll ask him. Maybe I'll see him in New York. How's he feeling these days? Is that right? Okay. So this is what we have so far. The Shulchan Aruch, as we said, doesn't exactly say, you know, what the din is bisman azeh, but you certainly get the impression that since he says im einam averes tmeya misafek, and then he writes v'achshav ein lanu havaras zayin samamonim, it seems like he's saying that in our time she is begeder tmeya misafek. That's the impression that you get. Okay. Now, let me give you a little bit of an overview of what we want to get out of the Magid Mishnah. The Rambam's language is the following. Again, kol kesev shenimtza al habeged v'ein lanu b'mei yitleh is eno metame ad shivoda shudam v'im nistapik lahem im udam otseva ma'virin olav zayin samimonim. Fine. So the Magid Mishnah's first point is that the Rashba understood that according to the Rambam, Be'etzem, I'll explain what I mean by the word Be'etzem, the Kesem is Tar. But since we have a Safek, because maybe it's Dam, therefore we're required to do this Bedika. Now, if we don't do the Bedika, then L'chora, what we're left with is a Safek. And that's what we saw in the Shulchan Aruch. The Bedika could have tipped the scale in one way or the other, Vaday Tmeya, Vaday Dam, or Vaday Tahor, because it's Vaday Tseva, but in the absence of the Bedika, then we're left with a Safek. Comes along the Magid Mishnah, and he says that that's not pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't mean to say that in the absence of this bedika, she should be in a situation of a suffix. Because if that be the case, we should apply the principle of suffix derabana lakula, as the rabbi mentioned before. So again, if we're going to assume that when the Rambam talks about the Kesem, and he says, well, we can assume it's Tseva until we know it's Dam, and therefore Be'etzem she's Tar, then in the absence of a Bedika, the Rambam should be pushing the envelope for her being Tahora. And that's true Mimonavshach. Either because Be'etzem it's Tar, and we assume it's Tsef, or even if we're Misupak, we should apply the principle of Sofik Darabon Lekula. And the Magid Mishnah himself writes that Im Eina Maveres, she's Tmeya, Misofik. And as we said before, that's what we found in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch seems to be a reflection of the Magid Mishnah. And then he writes the following. Ein ze safik shel devrayim shel holchim bo lo hakel. Shrei efshel lamad al ikro shel dovar bibdika. The Magid Mishnah comes up with the following solution to this problem. Why don't we apply the principle of safik devrayim lakula? All over Shas, all over Shulchan Aruch, we always paskin Safik Lekula in the Derabbana. And the answer, he says, is because we have Bedika. Efsho Lamod al Ikro Shal Dover Bedika. So, Rabosa, I'm going to ask that we keep these words in mind and we'll come back to them. Hopefully, I'm moving a little bit slower than I was hoping to, but it's when you start a new sugi, you gotta go step by step. But I'm hoping in Birtz Hashem we'll have some clarity. What does the Magid Mishnah mean when he says she'ein zeh sofek shel divreihem, and we can't be a holy polo hakil sharei efshar lamad al ikro shel davar bibdika, and therefore based on this, the Magid Mishnah says, "V'zeh barur." I have no doubt. He says, "B'das Rabbeinu," according to the Rambam himself, "Kol she'ena bodekes he tmeya." Okay, so now the Magid Mishnah says that because she can do this bedika, therefore it's not called a safek, and we can't apply the principle of safek drabon lekula.
Because there's a bedika.
Correct, because of the possibility of bedika.
But if there is no possibility of bedika.
So that's what we're going to get to, Rabbi. Okay, so hang on. Again, I'm begging for your patience only because, you know, when I start a new sugya, I'm just, you know, I got to go step by step. So let's see in the language of the Rambam where the Magen Mishnah sees this. The Magen Mishnah sees it in the words of the Rambam. The Rambam says, "V'im nistapik lahem shema hu dam otzeva adam ma'vir in olav sheva samimon." The way the Magen Mishnah interprets that sentence in the Rambam is that we're going to allow you to be matayer har if you clarify through zayin samimonim. But if you fail to make that bedika, the way the Magen Mishnah reads the Rambam, she becomes tmeah. But the problem is, how is the Magen Mishnah reading the Reisha of the Rambam? The Rambam says explicitly, "Kol kesem shenimtza al beged shein lo bamitva v'eino matami ad sheyivada shudam." So what I'm pointing out to you is, lefi ani uzdaiti, again, I'm not sure if I'm right, there's almost a contradiction here between the Reisha of the Rambam and the Seifa. In the Reisha of the Rambam, you get the impression we don't know it's dam, and therefore let's assume it's tseva. But in the Seifa, the Rambam says no. In this topic, lahem shemu damu tseva ma'virin olav. And the Magen Mishnah reads that as saying that you have to be ma'vir olav. In other words, the very fact that you have the possibility of bedika removes the universal principle of safek divrehem lekula. So when he says v'zeh bor v'das rabbeinu shekol she'ena bodekes itmea, that's not so simple. Oh, says the Magen Mishnah, u'ma shekosav harambam eino tmea ad she'ivoda kavanoso lomar di ein ze tuma vadois she'ein lo bedika. Because since there was no bedika, we don't have a tumah vados. So in other words, the way we read the Rambam is not the way the Magen Mishnah is interpreting the Rambam. We said, kol kesem animta blah blah blah, eino mitami ad she'ivada, meaning, we have to assume that it is tseva until you prove otherwise. No. Eino mitami b'toras vadai ad she'ivada shudam. Aval hu tame b'toras sof. And you'll ask me, says the Magen Mishnah, so why shouldn't we apply the Safek to Rabbanu Lekula principle? Says the Magen Mishnah, because there's a possibility of Bidika. And once there's a possibility, Lamod, Efshel Lamod al Ikro Shel Dovar, Bidika, is then we don't have the possibility of Safek to Rabbanu Lekula. Now, in the next part of the Magen Mishnah, he wants to prove that the Ravid had a different understanding of the Rambam. Not our understanding, says the Magen Mishnah. Not the way the Rashba understood the Rambam. But a different understanding. And the Ravid accused the Rambam of saying and maintaining that in the absence of Bidika, she's Tahora. And that's Eino. That's something that the Ravid could not tolerate. But now that we take the Magid Mishnah's approach, which is predicated on the Rashba's approach, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, we are, in a sense, being mitzamtzem, we're slightly narrowing the gap between the Rambam and the Ravid. Not totally. I mean, the Ravid says that the whole Havara Samamonim is irrelevant to Labaila. That's not true for the Rambam, but there is an overlap between the Rambam and the Ravid. They would both agree that in the absence of a Bedika, she would be Tmea. Why? Because there's no vadai tumor. And if there's, I'm sorry, there's no vadai tahora. On the other hand, there's no vadai tumor. So she becomes a suffix. Why not apply the principle and be makriya the suffix lakula? Because she has this bedika business. So it's really funny when you think about it. The way the Rambam's learning this Mishnah as relevant to Labaila, the existence, the entity of Bedika works both Lekula and Lechumra. It works Lekula in the sense that, as opposed to the Ravid, the Rambam holds there is a way of being Matara despite the Kesem and the absence of Tliya, if the Bedika works in that direction. On the other hand, it's also a Chumra. And why? What makes it into a Chumra? Because without the Bedika, we would have said Sofek Dirabon Lekula here, because we don't know if it's Dam or Tseva, but because of the existence of Bedika and the possibility of being Mavara the Sofek, therefore it's Lechumra and she becomes Tmeya. Now here we have the Bach. The Bach is here, paragraph number Lamed Aleph. And the Bach says the following. Hechad diefshalo livrure imhudam otseva lekuli alma asura labaylo v'einzen nikra suffik. It sounds like the Bach went even one step further in the Rambam. We read the Reish of the Rambam, we thought that adrabba she's becheskas tahora because of the suffik. And we assumed that it was Tsevanata. The Magid Mishnah straightened us out, so to speak, and he said, no, we're in a situation of Suffolk. We don't know if it's Dam or it's Tseva. We have the possibility of Bedika. And if she successfully implements the Bedika, she may become Tahora. But if there's no Bedika, then she's Tmea. But albeit, what kind of a Tumah? A Tumah Suffolk. The Bach seems to go one step further. And he says that if there's a possibility of Bedika, then it's not called a Suffolk at all. But then he says, Hecha di efsha levarer, kigon she'ein bekius bahem ubishmoseihem, oz l'das harambam, Muteres Labaila. Now, I think that's the way the Rashba understood the Rambam. Because again, if you go back to the tour, when he quotes the Rashba, he says, Yesh Mishahora, and I believe he's referring to the Rambam, She'eni Shachal Sheshes Mishum Kesem Ad Sheteda Bebiru Shudam. So it sounds like that according to the way the Rashba understood this Yesh Mishahora, which I presume is the Rambam, in the absence of Bedika, Eina Choshesh Mishum Kesa, and she's Tahora. So the way the Bach has it, you go from one extreme to the other. If she has the possibility of Bedika, then if she doesn't do the Bedika, she's Tmeya B'Torah's Vada, which is a Pella. If on the other hand she does not have the possibility of Bedika, because why? Because, what's his language? Ein lanu bekiyum behem ubishmoseihem. Then she becomes tahora labayla. Something that the Magid Mishnah was unwilling to accept. So in the overview of the sugya, we have so many different shitas here. Let's see if we can calculate them. We have the shita of the Ravid and the Ramban on one polar extreme, that Bedika doesn't have any bearing whatsoever to be Matir Ksamim. We have the other extreme, which is the way the Rashba, and in this sense the Bach as well, understood the Rambam, that not only is Bedika meaningful to be Matir Har if they weren't Matir the Kesem, but more than that, in the absence of a Bedika because of what? Of Einon Abikin, then she's Tahora Labaila. In between these polar extremes, we have the Magid Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam. According to his understanding of the Rambam, the very fact that there is a theoretical possibility of a Bedika, that precludes what we call Tumas Sofek. He's not willing to assume that she's Tmeya B'Torah's Vadai in the absence of a Bedika, but this suffix engenders a necessity for Bedika, and in the absence of Bedika, we will not be able to apply the principle of suffix to Rabbanu Lekula, and she becomes Tmeya Labaila. So as the Rashba would say, that if there's no Bedika, she's Tahora Labaila. And the Magid Mishnah would say that in the absence of Bedika, she's Tmeya Labaila. The Bach would say that it depends why she didn't do a Bedika. If she didn't do this Bedika because she didn't do the Bedika, then she's Tmeya Labaila, B'Torah's Vadai. If on the other hand she didn't have the possibility of doing the Bedika, then she's Tahora Labaila. And the Shulchan Aruch, for his part, seems to equate and identify the two cases of she didn't do the bedikah, or she couldn't do the bedikah because we don't have the bekiyas. And in both cases, it becomes a tumas safek because the Shulchan Aruch is adopting the position of the Magid Mishnah in the Rambam that in the absence of bedikah for whatever reason, it becomes a tumas safek, and the abstract theoretical possibility of bedikah removes the possibility of applying the principle of safek darabana lekula, and she remains tmei labayla b'toras. B'toras Sofik. That seems to be the Shulchan Aruch's psak. But here I wanted to point out to you the Toras Hashlom. So I'm going to put this for the time being on the side. We didn't get a chance to read the Magid Mishnah inside. Hopefully, Od Chazon Lamoed. The Toras Hashlom, as I mentioned many times, is Rav Yaakov Reischer. And he writes the following. Hecha di efshar, this is Os or Simon Choftes. Hecha di efshar bibdika, kuli alma modu davi safek dirabonon ulakula. He's accepting the position of the Bach that if there's no possibility of bidika, then we apply the principle of safek dirabonon lakula. In other words, you can suspend Sofik Rabban Lekul if she could have done a bedikah and for whatever reason she didn't do so. But if she could not have possibly done the bedikah, that's called the Efsha bedikah, is then Kuli Alma Mi Sofik Rabban Lekul. Now, if he had understood that this was the unique, singular approach of the Bach, why does he write the Kuli Alma Modu Davi Sofik Rabban Lekul? And then he writes for Chenu Das HaRashba VeHaRaivit VeChol Zeh Poshet LaMa'ayin MiDivreyev. So basically he's overturning everything that we said until now. We assume that according to the Rashba and the Raivit, according to the Raivit, forget about Bedikah, it's not even relevant to our discussion. According to the Rashba, that Bedikah is effective. But because it's effective, that generates a chumra. We suspend the principle of Sofik Rabban Lekul because why don't you make a bedika? Again, you could always justify this in the case of the Efshar. But that's not what the Torah Shlomim seems to be saying. Now, it's fascinating that according to the Torah Shlomim, he has a kasha based on Se'if Lamed. Okay, so we've been doing Se'if Lamed Aleph, and now he wants us to go back and look at the previous Se'if. Now the question is, what is he getting from the previous Se'if? Is he bringing out a Raya, or is he bringing a Kasha? That's what we have to figure it out. In any event, let's just summarize what we understand from the Bach and the Toras Hashlom. The Bach says that if there's a possibility of being mevar the safek, whether it's dam or tseva, meaning through bidika, is kuli alma lo pligi shi asur lo baila. V'ein ze nikra safek. So the svar that we saw in the Magid Mishnah, that the fact that she could have made a bidika, that removes the laws of Sfeikis, suspends the laws of Sfeikis, because here we're talking about something to Rabbanon, and she's Asura Labayla, says the Bach, everybody accepts that position. Everybody except for the Toras Hashlamim, of course, because the Toras Hashlamim is going to say something a little bit different. But then he writes, Hecha di Efsha Levarer, Kigon She'ein Bekiyus Pahem, Ubishmo Sehem, Oz, then he says, Ladas HaRamam Einacho Sheshes, Uluteres Labayla. And the premise of the Bach is that, again, in barring in the absence of the possibility of bedika, then we can't even talk about ksamim, because ksamim assumes that she saw a stain of dam. So we have to have absolute clarity about the fact that she saw a stain of dam. We don't have that clarity. If we don't have clarity, then she's Muteris Labaila and the laws of Ksamim don't kick in. This is a very fundamental Bach. According to the Magid Mishnah, If she doesn't make a bedika, she's tmeil abayla. And the Magen Mishnah seems to be assuming that the theoretical possibility of a bedika is enough to undermine the law of Suffolk. And again, we feel for her, and we our heart goes out for her, that she just doesn't know how to make this bedika. We cannot identify the names of these the identities of these ksamim, but never of these samamonim. But nevertheless, on a theoretical level, it's a suffix shenitan lebirur theoretically, and therefore there's no din of suffix lekula over here. Whereas the Bach is willing to apply the principle of suffix lekula if there's no possibility of bedika. In other words, the Bach is saying, what would have been the halacha if there was no bedika? If we never started with this mission of bedika, she would have been muteris mitzad sofik drabana lekula, and that's what should be here. The whole din of ksam has to be predicated on the on a definite assumption that we have a kesem, that we have dan, but we don't have that definite assumption. Therefore, the whole law of ksam doesn't kick in, and that's the way we read the Rashba as he was quoted by the Tur. But again, keep in mind that the Magen Mishnah is not like that. The Magen Mishnah is saying that it doesn't matter why she didn't make a bedika, and whether it was due to her laziness or due to circumstances beyond her control. In both cases, she's asura labayla, she's tmeya, because there's a possibility of bedika, even though she doesn't know, and she can't be blamed for not knowing how to do the bedika. The Torah Shlomim, on the other hand, is saying that even though, according to the Bach, if it's impossible to do the bedika, the Rashba and the Raivin would all say Tmeim, right? Would all say Tmeim, he says no. The law is that if it's impossible to do this bedika, then she's Tahora. And he says, L'kuli alma. Heichi efshel levarer is kuli alma modi davi sofik drabon l'kula. And that's true according to the Rashba and according to the Raivit. So whereas the Bach would say that in a case where there's no possibility of bedika, then there's a whole school of thought that would say, well, it doesn't matter if there's no possibility of bedika. The theoretical possibility of bedika removes the principle of Safek Lakula. The Torah Shlomim, for his point of view, says that if there's no possibility of bedika, then we go back to prehistoric times. What was pre-bedika times? There was no bedika. And we would have to apply the principle of Safek Drabana Lakula. And this whole machlokas is very relevant to Zman Hazeh, because since today, in our time, we don't know how to do a bedika, then what is her status? According to the Bach, it seems like most of the poskim, the Rishonim, would say that in such a case, the theoretical possible bedika undermines the principle of Sofik Lekula. And therefore, she'd be Tmei, according to Torah Sashlovim, if it's Efshar, and there's no possibility of birur, why are you removing the halach of safek? Because it's efshel levarer. No, it's not efshel levarer. We don't know how to do this bedika, and therefore she's going to be tohor. So I was wondering, how do we paskin halach levaisa? Because I think this has tremendous repercussions. Kuli avlo pligi. We don't know how to do this bedika of zayin samamonim. So what's the halacha? So in the Friedman edition of the Shulchan Aruch, he has something on the bottom called the Otzer Mefarshim, where he adds the latest cutting edge commentaries, in the last century or two. And he writes in the name of the Yad Avram, that came of the Akshav E. Efshar Bibdika, is therefore lo mikri safek chisaran yediyah b'chai gavna, v'havi safek dirabonon ulakul. The Ayin B'Torah Shlom. So it sounds like the Yad Avram, for one, accepted the Torah Shlomim, and in our time that we don't have the possibility of bedika, she's muteris labayla tahora, and we apply the principle of sofik drabana lekula. The fascinating thing is that he adds a little bit of a flavor to it that we didn't see before. He writes, what was the counter argument? The argument, let's say, the Bach, according to the Magen Mishnah and the Rashi, for the way the Bach understood it, he was saying lo mikri safek b'chisaron yediyah. He says the following: there are two categories. In other words, there are two possible reasons why the theoretical possibility of bedika is not the reality or not the practical non-bedika, absence of bedika. One, he says, is called chisaron yediyah. I don't know how to do this bedika. I don't know how to be mavara the suffix. In that case, it's your problem, my friend. You don't know how to be mavara the suffix. Don't apply dini suffix. There's a beer out here. You can't apply halachas of suffix when there's a beer on the suffix. You don't know. You don't know how to do the beer. That's your problem, my friend. That's a chisaron yediyah. Chisaron yediyah is not. It does not undermine the biru. It's efshel levar, norvas. You don't know how to be mavar. So that's your problem. You know, take a more advanced college course and figure out how to be mavar this suffix. Comes along Yad Avram and he says, "Nay, in our time, that's not called chisar yediyah." And I don't know why. He doesn't spell out why. But again, just to understand what's going on here, and this certainly would explain the Bach, is that we don't call something a suffix, be'etzem, we don't really call it essentially a suffix if it's efshel avar. And if we don't know how to be mavar, that doesn't mean that it's not efshel avar. We don't know how to do it, but the efshel avar is still a reality, it's still the truth. And if it's efshel avar, but because of our chisaron yediyah, we don't have the chokhmah, we don't have the yediyah. So we're not going to apply the principle of safek derabbanan lekula. Safek derabbanan lekula allows me to be machriya safek. But when we have no possibility of clarifying the safek. But here we do have a clarification for the safek. You may not know, you don't have the expertise and the knowledge to do so. That's your problem. Now, where is the source for this concept? So we'll soon see that the Sidrei Tara points us to the Ran in Chulin. It says in the Gemara in Chulin that if Iser gets mixed up into Heter, then you could be Meshayer B'Shishin. You can make a volume test, and if the volume of the Iser is less than 1/60th of the heter, then it's batel. So let's say, for example, you have 61 pieces, can I get one piece of iser? Heter against iser is 61-1. So the law is that it's mutter. Says the Ran, but what happens if I don't know how to make that calculation? I simply don't have the wherewithal of doing so. I don't have the idea, I don't have the chachma, I don't have the wherewithal, the bekiyas to do it. And the Ran says that in such a case, we cannot be mekel, even though it's only a derabbanan, meaning on a deraisa level, it was batel berov. The chacham required shishim, and now I don't know how to determine whether there's shishim or not. So I don't know if there's shishim or not. What do I do in a case where I don't know? Is there shishim or is it not shishim? Says the Ran, in such a case, there's no room to apply the principle of safek derabbanan lahakel. Why? Because you simply don't know. But there is a beer on this suffix. You know, in the reality, in God's eyes, He knows whether it's shishim or it's not shishim. You don't know. But it still becomes an efshel levara. And if it's efshel levara, that's not called a suffix. A suffix efshel levara, you can't be machriya the suffix. However, even though, we'll see Balin Eder and Shulchan Aruch, the Taz accepts this Ran, la halacha, and I don't know of anybody who rejects it, but that's only if you have a chisaron yediyah. But what if the entire globe, the entire world has a chisaron yediyah? It's a chisaron yediyah l'chol olam kulo, not to an adam prati, to some individual. For example, today nobody knows how to be bodek b'zayin samamon. Is that called a suffik yediyah? That's not called a suffik yediyah. That means that the Bira Suffolk is impossible. Nobody has the possibility of being Mavara the Suffolk. Here we can apply the principle of Suffolk Drabbana, Lakula. And this is what the Sidrei Tara writes in Number Memvav. I think I wrote it for you on the Mar Makomos page. And he says the following. L'didan d'lo bekinon, d'lo bekiyum, ha'yinirish yesh l'hakel b'sofek tzevav sofek dam. The law reading the havi sofik machmas chisaron chachma v'yedir shalom mikri sofik kevan de leka bizman as es shum chacham she yodeh lahavir zayin samimonim v'chein kosav ataz b'simon pei aleph. Please make a note of this, that's a study on itself. Again, the Taz is talking about a case where we don't have the Bekiyas to be Meshayer B'Shishim Kedegah the Isur, and he says we have to be Machmir based on the Ran, even though it's only a Sofik Drabbonon. But he writes, Aval in Ein Shum Adam Sheyachal Levarer Somchim Leheter. So the Sidrei Tara quotes this Taz in Simon Pe'alef, and he applies it to our case. And I say, Rabosai, this has tremendous repercussions, halacha l'maisa. Whenever I can raise the logical possibility that what I'm looking at is not dam, but it's tseva, then the laws of ksamim don't kick in, because at the end I'm left with a suffix. Nu, but go be mevar the suffix. Because you have havar zayin samamon, and the answer is, I don't know how to do it. Oh, you don't know how to do it, that's not, I'm sorry, that's not an excuse. That's chisar chachma v'yedir. That doesn't undermine the efshel of arura. It's still efshel of arura. You don't know how to do it. Ah, says the Sidrei Tara. But the Taz says that no one knows on the face of the earth how to do this birur. At that point, it becomes a sofik she efshel of arura. And in a sofik she efshel of arura, we say sofik d'rabbana. Lekula, the sofik is still a valid sofik. That's what we got here in the Sidrei Tara. The question is, is everybody willing to accept this principle that if it's a suffix for the whole world, therefore in the case of Ksamim, and we don't know whether it's Dam or Tzemim, we cannot apply, nobody can apply the Bdikas Samamon, and we should say suffix Drabbanon Laku. So we saw the Sidrei Tara in Mem Vav, but if you fast forward a little bit to Nun Beis, which just requires turning one page, he writes the following. V'achshav, this is the lashon of the Mechaber that we saw before, V'achshav ein lanu havara shiva samimon. Kfar kasavti li'el, sifkot memva, b'shem ha-minchas Yaakov, meaning the Torah Sashlomim that we saw, that ha'idna deleka man diyoda l'mivdak, nobody knows how to do this b'dika l'day samonim, efshal l'hakel b'sofek tzeva o b'sofek dam. But then he writes, take a look at the next line in the Torah Sashlomim. The Torah Sashlomim writes the following. Ein on a b'kiyim b'ktas mishmosom, this is the Torah Sashlomim Lamed, we saw Choptes. He says, Nira the Akshav Kevichi Efsha Bibdika Yeshla Hakel Basafik Mutsevo Dam. Achen, however. He writes, he says, Halavush, right? That's from Mordechai Yafa, live 5 centuries ago, calls him the Yeshla Hachmir Misafik. Fitzarch Lomar, and we have to interpret the Lavush, the Avik is Safik Chisaran Yediyah. That the Levush understood that even though no one knows how to implement this B'dik of Zayin Samamonim, it still becomes a Sofek Yediyah. And he says, the Sidrei Tara, after quoting this Torah Shlomim in the name of the Levush, he says, L'didan yesh lahachmir misofek. So when I read Sifkat Mem Vav, I got very excited because I thought he was accepting the Torah Shlomim hook, line, and sinker, and it's Eav Shalavar, we apply Sofik Drabon Lekula, and that's the end of the story. But here, when you move forward and you see Nun Beis, he says, after quoting this Torah Shlomim and Eidil Levush, Yesh Lahachmir Misafek, he writes, L'didan Yesh Lahachmir Misafek, V.O., then he says, why? Not just because of Levush, but he says, the Imkain, if we accept the Torah Shlomim, Nafal Kol Dinei Ksamim Bizman Hazeh. We can take the entire Siman Kovtzadi of Ksamim and put it in deep freeze. Dili Olam Ika L'Sfuke B'Sofek Tzeva O'Sofek Dam. I can always tell you, maybe what you're looking at is ink, Maybe it's a paint. I don't know what it is. Go figure it out. However, the next part of the Sidri Tara is a longer arichus here, and he says that if there are situations in which we really have room to be mistapek, that maybe there is room to think that it's not dam and it's tseva, then he says that we might be able to apply the principle of the Torah Sashlomim of Sofek Derabbanan Lekula. And he gives the following two examples, one of which I understand, the other maybe you can help me with. The first one, he says, is Kigon Shaloveshes Michnas Adom. She's wearing red pants. V'al Yideya Zeya, and since she sweats, Motziya Tseva Mea Beget. Okay? So this, you know, this is fascinating to me, because I wonder if the poskim actually consider these possibilities. Then he gives another possibility, which I don't exactly understand. Oshehi mashenes tabak. She's a smoker. Hagorem lelecha aduma. I don't know, I never smoked tabak, I don't think. Does anybody here know what... Why would tabak create some sort of saliva with a red color to it? Anyway, what?
Chewing tobacco.
Some sort of chewing tobacco. The chewing tobacco is red? I guess that's what?
Brownish.
It's brownish.
When she chews it.
Maybe when she chews it, it becomes reddish. And at the end of the day, he writes, us, in these kinds of situations, akol lefi ra'os enei hamora im lahakel im lahach. It's also a fascinating kind of thing, you know, like there's no objective answer to this question. There's no strict set halacha, period. It's hakol lefi ra'os enei hamora. Now, exactly how the red saliva got from here all the way down there, I don't know exactly, but if he, the Mora Ora, doesn't know whether it is dam or tseva. And I was thinking, Rabosai, in our time, we have something that I think is even more common than Zeya, you know, B'mechnasayim Adumos and all this stuff, and Tabat. And that is, what do you call it? What's one floor up here? What do they call those kits? Makeup kits. Now, I'm not a bucky in makeup kits, because I always tell my wife to please put it all in the thing, because on Shabbos a lot of this stuff might be mukta and it falls all over the place. But a lot of that makeup is reddish in color. So I say, if you're willing to say that when she chews tobacco she gets some sort of red saliva, and therefore the dam that she finds on a beged is maybe tseva, not dam, and say something to Rabbanu Lekula, v'akol lefi ra'os enei hadayon, I would say with Kal v'chomer, how much more so if she uses these reddish, rouge or whatever the heck they use. Kach nirol ani is tight. In any event, on a lubdishal level, I think Rabbi Kiva Eger disagrees with the Torah Sashlom. So let's take a look at Rabbi Kiva. Now, you may recall that the Torah Sashlomim referred us back to Sif Lamed. This Sif Lamed is all about the Ramban. What does the Ramban say? We spoke about Tlia, to be Tola. So let's say, for example, you want to be Tola on a Makolis, Ledugma, or whatever it might be. So the Ramban wants to know, are you obligated, before you apply the law of Tlia, to do what's called Hakafa? It has nothing to do with Simchas Torah. Not in this shul, not in that shul. You weren't here for my Pirkei Avashim. I spoke about Hakafas. Okay. Oh. So what is Lahakif? Says the Ramah, based on the Aruch, lahakiv hu ledamos dover ledov. Meaning, you want to tell me she found a stain, and you want to tell me it came from Makolis. Why don't we take the sheets that are saturated with Makolis dam, put them next to this kesem, and let's be medama milsa la milsa. If it seems to be the same, we could be metarahab through tliya, if not, not. Says the Ramban, eino tzricho lahakif. Eino tzricho lahakif hakesem ledovar shi tolabo, el tolam min astam. The only exception to the rule is, let's say, for example, the makolis gives off a black color, and she found a red color, or vice versa, then simply, you can't use tliya if you know up front that there's a definite marked difference between the kesem and the tliya. But in the absence of such knowledge, we paskin, that's how it is in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Ramban, that we don't have to be told. So the Torah Shashlom gets very excited about that, because he thinks that what we're saying is that in the absence of bedika, we can apply the principle of Sofek, Sofek Lekula. In other words, again, there are two issues here. The issue of our issue today is not clear. Our issue is, we don't know whether it's dam or tseva. Says the Torah Sashlom, if we don't know whether it's dam or tseva, let's apply the principle of Sofek Derabbanan Lekula. Unless you could have made a bedika and you didn't. But if you didn't make a bedika, because you don't know how to make a bedika, so again, the Torah Sashlom, I'll read it one more time, says, Hecha di efsha bibdika kuliyama modu davi sofik darabana lukula. And then he tells you to look at Sif Lamed. Here also, we're applying the din of Tliya without any sort of bidika. We're not comparing through the Sakofa, and yet we're saying that she's Tahora Labayla. However, there's a Rebbe Kivega here that's very important. We're going back now to Seif Chaf Gimel. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Seif Chaf Gimel. Okay, I see it's late, so I'll try to see if we can wrap this up. He paskins here, the Shulchan Aruch, based on a Gemara on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, that Nisaska Bidover Adom, if we know that she had occupation, she was occupied with something that's red. And I'm skipping to the part that's relevant to us. V'nimtza aleha adom, and she finds something red on her garment. Afilu im eno nikar mamish shedomelo. It's not obvious that the two reds, the one that she was actually working with, and the one that she found, are similar. Nevertheless, she's tahora. On this, Rabbi Kiveger, in number Yud Gimel, says the following. The imnis aska betseva adom, yesh la'ayin de lechora osur. He says the following. That if you're talking about something that's red, and the Shulchan Aruch says that if it's what? Let's read the Shulchan Aruch once more. If she was nis asik bedover adom, then we can apply the din of tliya, even if eino nikar mamish, we don't see a striking resemblance between the kesem and the dover adom. Says Rabbi Kiveger, but if her hisaskus was not bedover adom, but betseva adom, lechora os. Why is it dover adom one din and tseva adom another din? Now both say, what's the answer? What's Rabbi Kiveger driving at? Exactly, because of Bdikas, Havaras, Zayin Samamonin. He says that if it was a Tseva situation, right, other objects are like Damnida. They have the same quality, meaning if you subject them to Zayin Samamonin, they'll be washed away. But there's one unique Tseva Adom that is not washed away. Now, if she was Osekes B'Tzeva Adom, L'chor, that would be more of a reason to be Tola. He says, no, Pukfaket, it's more a reason to be Machmir. Why? Because of the possibility of Havara. And then he adds, V'Afsha Einanu B'Kim. Meaning, we don't know, we have no clue how to do this Havara Zayin Samamonim. He says, Avi Sofek Machmas Chisoran Yediyah. He's not willing to say that, like we said in the Sidrei Tanitaz, that since we don't know, nobody knows, there's not one person on the face of the earth who's walking on this globe who knows how to do this test, therefore it's a bona fide suffix. No, he calls it a suffix machmas chisar and yediyah. We simply don't know how to do the test. The ayin b'torah shlomim. He poo-poos the Torah shlomim. And the fascinating thing is that in effect, Rav Kivager is accepting the Levush. Because you remember that the Torah Shlomim admitted that the Levush was hesitant to apply the principle of Safek to Rabbana Lekula, even if nobody on the face of the earth knows how to do this Bedika. It still becomes and is defined as a Chisaron Yediyah. So on both sides, now it comes out that the picture is a lot more complicated than we thought it was. We had the Torah Shlomim, and basically the Sidrei Tara accepted the Torah Shlomim, and we should apply the principle of Safek to Rabbana Lekula. We don't know how to do this Bedika, and therefore it's a real Safek. We only had a little bit of a hesitation. We were a little bit inhibited because you have the Levush out there. But now we see that no lesser giant than Rabbi Kivager rejected the Torah Shlomim in favor of the Levush's position that even though today ain't on a Bekiyim, have a Safek Machmas Chisaron Yediyah. And therefore, says Rabbi Kivager, when the Shulchan Aruch paskins this Aska B'Dovar Adom, then even though we don't know how to compare it and so forth, we can be maker, that's only midine tliya. But if it would have been this aska b'tseva adam, which lends itself to b'dikas havar samamanim, then the Shulchan Aruch would have asked it. So that diuk in Rabbi Kivega's ability to read the Shulchan Aruch is a very strong diuk. And it leads Rabbi Kivega, maybe ourselves, to the conclusion that a suffix she'ef shalavarer is not considered a suffix. But I want to leave you with one question. I don't understand this Rabbi Kivager. Rabbi Kivager says that in Sif Chav Gimel, this Aska B'Dover Adam, which works midin tliya, then if it would have been B'Tseva Adam, it becomes a suffix she'ef shalavarer. Then why does the Shulchan Aruch himself say that in Sif Lamed that Eino Tzrich Lahakif? If you want to be Tola on, let's say, Makolas, you don't have to do this litmus test of simply comparing the two in front of your eyes. Again, Rabbi Kivega is saying that if it's Efshel of Arure, then we don't have the right to apply Sofek. And therefore, in the case of Tzeva Adom, we have to be Machmir Mitzad Sofek because we don't have the capacity to implement this Bedika and it becomes a Chisaron Yediyah. Why then does the Shulchan Aruch simply do away with Hakofa based on the Ramban that we discussed before? Why isn't that a Bedika? So Rabosa, I'll tell you what I think. And this is the punchline of today's Shia. I know it's late and I'm really pushing you and I apologize, but where is there more room to be making? Give me your knee-jerk response to this question. Would you be more making in Tliya and say that this Dam came from Shechting in the Shuk or it came from Dam Makolas? Or to say, maybe it's not dam at all. Maybe it's tseva, and it's not even dam. In which of those two cases would you be more inclined, in a controlled experiment with certain circumstances and conditions met, to be maker? Which one was the second?
It's not dam at all.
If it's not dam at all. So I want to be mechanic, I'm almost like, poof, I care. It works the exact opposite. It's counterintuitive. And I'll tell you why. Because of the principle of Efshel Varure. If it's Efshel Varure, we don't have the ability of being Machriya in Sfeikas. Why? Because it's not really a Safek. Because it lends itself to Bira. Now here's the difference. In the case of Safek Tseva, we have the possibility of Bira. And even though I agree with you that fundamentally, this is a much more fundamental question here of a Safek, because maybe it's not Dam at all. But the catch-22 here is that it lends itself to Birur. Again, you could always argue, but we don't know how to do the Birur and so forth and so on. But nevertheless, in the halachic universe, on a pure, how shall I say, abstract level, maybe it's called Efshel Varure. The fact that we don't know is Chisaron Yedia. That's Rabbi Akiva and the Levush. Oh. Here, I think, because of the Chumrah of Tliya, that generates the Kula of Tliya. Because what is Tliya? Tliya doesn't make any sense. You know it's Dam. Oh, but maybe it came from Dam this, maybe it came from Dam that. How do we understand the din of Tliya? And I think there's only one answer to that. That when the Chachamim instituted Ksamim, they built in a condition to the very institution of Ksamim. And they said the following. If there's a possibility of Tliya, it's not a Kesem. She's Tahora. That's a separate din of Tliya. And I'll prove to you that Tliya doesn't lend itself to Bira. Why? Because let's say that you compare the two dam, right? You have, let's say, on this cloth, you have dam machmas makolis, and here you have dam, which we think as a kesem might be miguf. And we compare it. And lo and behold, it seems similar. Is that a bira on the suffix? True, it might have been a makolis, but maybe this was dam migufa. So even after I apply the din of tliya, and even after I do hakafa, I still don't know. I still can't convince myself that this is dam makolis. I'm still in the dark. Maybe this is dam machmas gufa. At least in the case of Zayin Samamonim, I can clarify without a shadow of a doubt that this is tseva and it's not dam. But in the case of Tliya, even after I do all my bedikas, I still don't know what it is. I still can't be absolutely convinced that it's not dam machmas gufa, but rather maybe it's dam machmas makolis. And even if I do akof and everything checks out, I still don't know. Maybe it's dam machmas gufa. The teretz is, that's the way Tliya operates. That if you could be told that this dam is not migufa, but this dam came mi'alma, that's not called ksom. Therefore, it comes out according to Rabbi Akiva with something fascinating. That if you go back to his diuk in Se'if Chav Gimel Nisaska Medover Adom, says Rabbi Akiva, had it been tseva, then she would be tmeya. And the reason for that is because it lends itself to the B'dikah of Zayin Samamonim. And I don't care, says Rabbi Akiva, we've got the fact that it ain't on a B'kiyim, it still is defined as a Chisaron Yediyah, and we cannot be Machriya in a case of Birur, of Efsharis Birur. But if you're talking about Seif Chav Gimel, was Eina Tzricha LaHakif, that's already something else. That's not Sofik Tzeva with a B'dikah. That's Tliya with a Bedika. Tliya with a Bedika, the Bedika is not going to convince me of anything. So there's no possibility of being Mavar the suffix through Tliya, through Hakafa, in the case of Tliya. Is Memela, the din is that since there is a possibility of Tliya, that maybe this dam came from somewhere else? Me'alma? In such a case, there's no Tumas Ksomen at all. Okay, Rabosai? We'll stop here.